morning, good morning, good morning, and Happy New Year, our first live podcast of 2022. So I'm excited about being here live with you all, and I hope you are too. Just want to check and make sure that my levels are good. Let me know, our engineer, I appreciate it. And so, hey, it is a new year, 2022, and I have to be honest with you, 2022 has really given some real hard hits. I said to my mother last night, I said, yeah, it's given a whole lot of licks. She said, licks? Who lick what? I said, no, like hits, licks, you know. But we're still standing. We're going to still press on because guess what? It takes four seasons to grow anything. And so this is just one of those seasons that's going to test us, and we're going to pass this test. Yes, we are. So, again, we're continuing to push resources to you every week. And one of those resources that, honestly, this is the exciting part. I don't know if I got a chance to tell you, I probably didn't. I met the author in person. I met Asia Floyd, the author of Success is My Major. I was attending a basketball event, and she was too, and she came running right over to me, and I was like, girl, your book is fire. It really is. Let me tell you, I'm like my father. It's like you know how you get a good meal and it's so good, but you want to slow down because you want to savor it a little bit more. That's how I'm doing this book. This book is so good. I mean, if you're a John Maxwell fan, if you like personal professional development books, this is really good. But it makes me stop and think. So I'm not rushing through it. It's in my pocketbook right now. And I will tell you, you know, you think that the way it's marketed, it seems as if it is written for the student-athlete, the current student-athlete to help them be successful. But, hey, I'm trying to tell you, as an athletic administrator, let me just be very, very clear. If you don't have a lifelong learning mindset, if you don't seek growth continuously, you will die at a slow death, to be honest with you. Because there's a book that I'm reading now. It's called something about the rookie mindset. And let me see if I can find the exact title, because I'm using it for my next staff retreat, because we are such in a society today, due to COVID and all types of things, things are fluid. And it used to be when you make a decision, when you do something, hey, you know, they say word is bond. Your word is bond, but because things are ever changing, you have to be flexible. And that's hard for some of us who pride ourselves of making a decision and sticking with it and carrying it through. And that's how we were trained. You know, people gravitate to people, get things done. But in this day and time, you really cannot get things done as you think you should. That's just the bottom line of it. It is. And for a young person, they have that flexibility piece. You ever notice when a young person gets something, you know, they may not go get the instructor manual. They may automatically, you take a look at a little four-year-old, can't even read a darn thing, but they can know how to use an instrument. They have an exploring type mentality. And we need to embrace that exploring mentality. That pioneer mentality. I will go where no man has been before, or woman. And I will test it out, and I'll come back and tell you about it. And so that's how we have to get our mind to the growth mindset from the fixed mindset. And this young lady talks about several tools, because honestly, you got to do some self-assessment of how you think of things, how you see things, your perspective of things, or to receive things. And the bottom line is, unless you grasp that concept, you won't be able to advance. Not in 2022 and beyond. You will be able to advance. People are a little upset with supervisors because they don't make quick decisions anymore. I had a conversation recently about that, but I didn't say what I'm saying to you today to that person because I knew she wasn't ready to hear that. But, you know, people don't make decisions in silos. And because you're waiting to see what the state says, what the school says, if you're on a public school board, I had a basketball tournament, supposed to have 48 teams, ended up having 31, but we still had 31 and we had a tournament. And so we try to give the ones that were there the very best experience. And you just do the best you can with the circumstances that you're in. And the best way to be able to adapt with change, and I'll use the expansion of opportunities, so to say, in a crisis, is to already prepare your brain for that with resources such as Success Is My Major by Asia Ford. So, yes, her target market are your student athletes, but I'm saying it is well worth the read to check yourself. How do you look at things? She talks about being a star player, and you all know that when you have a young person come on campus and been a star in high school, and then you come to college, they start all over again. And, you know, an immature mind doesn't know how to deal with that. Have you seen that in administrative role? People just don't understand. They have to kind of come, what? Have exploration mindset. Have a rookie mindset. And so actually, you know, 2022, I am going to embrace the rookie mindset, the exploration mindset, because that keeps you, because when you say a certain trigger words, your body responds to that, and it goes on defense. But if you go like, ooh, we're exploring new opportunities, you stay open. And maybe just to make it as they say, the one word, maybe I will just embrace open. So I hope you stay open-minded and look at Asia Ford's book, Success Is My Major. It can be purchased on Amazon, or you can go to successismymajor.com. Meet the Contributors usually is on Wednesdays at 6, and we did do an outstanding one last Wednesday with Ivana Rich. And she has multiple roles at Norfolk State. And one of the roles, which is what she, one of the roles that she wrote in the second issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine was about DEI at an HBCU. And we had a great discussion on the Facebook Live last week because, you know, it's a unique thing. People say, oh, you know, you don't need DEI at an HBCU. No, diversity is diversity. It's not just surface-level diversity, surface-level differences. And spending, I would say, 29 years at HBCUs. I did do one stint as an adjunct 1 year, 2015, at Old Dominion University. But the rest of them has been with HBCUs. And clearly, there are some diversity. A lot of it, you know, geography and the social norms that come from certain places. You know, actually, if you go to any college campus, you're going to have some dissension between the D.C. folks and the New York folks. House party, I mean, house music versus go-go. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm sure you can Google it and you can get up to speed. But these are just some cultural norms that we're used to. But there's a lot of things you just need to just be aware of, even if you're not a diversity and inclusion officer on your campus. And also, speaking of that, I really, really, number one, go get the magazine, please. Go to Amazon and get the magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports. You can click the button and just purchase it right there. Or if you want the PDF, you can go to payhip.com/Seeds of Empowerment to get the PDF version. And here is the key. Awareness is really important. Because I teach race and gender in sports at Hampton University. And I tell you, the first person, I didn't even know I was going to be teaching this, but the first person who enlightened me, and I'm just so proud of her, is Jen Fry. Jen Fry came to one of my retreats, and she was using terms to me. And again, I was, you know, HBCU, and I wasn't familiar with the term white privilege. And to be honest with you, microaggressions. And she explained it so well. I said, "Dear, you don't need to get any more degrees to teach this. You just taught me." I said, "You're a walking billboard for diversity." And I'm so glad she took my seed and let it take root with her. And she has what? Blown up? And I've been in what? Sports Illustrated. Well, the point is that we have resources here in the garden that would really enlighten you and broaden your view of things. And because, that was a couple of years ago, before she started her brand, Jen Fry Speaks, but I will say this. I have become conscious. I become conscious in a different way. Because my tendency is toward shouting inequities as it relates to women. And so I did that. I was blessed to be asked by the Boss Network to contribute to their blog. And Boss for them says bring other successful sisters. And I've been a member of that for quite some time now. And so they asked me to do a blog. And I'll be honest with you, they asked me before Christmas, and I kept missing the deadline, So over the Christmas holiday, I finished this book that I was reading. And the book is by John Grisham, called Suli. And Suli is a young man from Sudan who plays basketball, and basketball brings him to the state, and he ends up competing on an HBCU campus, North Carolina Central University. So all of the HBCU background folks were just so excited. And again, this still goes to my, I didn't talk about this on the Facebook Live, but again, we're talking about HBCUs and DEI work and how, yes, we're really excited that the mainstream has embraced and getting ready to highlight us in the mainstream marketplace in a fiction book. So I'm excited about reading that. I mean, I go out and I go to the store and buy it. I go to Barnes & Noble. I don't wait to Amazon. I go straight out there. But it took me a while to read it because, again, the stories about Sudan and the wars and whatnot, really, it was hard. It was a hard read. But when we finally watch him get to campus, I hear about the HBCU experience. And again, John Grisham is an award-winning bestseller. And I'm like, okay, he's going to really tell us, you know, give a great story. And so I was enjoying reading, you know, talking about the nest. That's the way you eat. Again, I grew up, well, I can't say grew up. I went to North Carolina Central since I was in college in sports. So I'm like, man, this is great. And he mentioned sports information director, which is what my position was when I first came out of college. And I was like, ooh, he's mentioning that and he knows all about it. And that's great. But, you know, everybody knows that the athletic director, Dr. Ingrid Wicker-McCree, who had been in the role for 13 years, is my mentee. So I'm like, okay, we're going to, you know, see at least a line or two about the legend of someone leading a department for 13 years happens to be a black woman. Now, most folks get so excited about, oh, they recognize us HBCU, and, you know, hey, they can't do everything. I ain't going down like that. That's not going to happen on my watch. Not cool with that. I'm okay with not mentioning her by name. But I am emphatically not happy about the fact that the role of the AD was not referred to as a female. And I talk about that in my blog with the Boss Network. And it could be unconscious bias. And I tried to get answers from Mr. Grisham, but, you know, he did not respond. I put it, you know, on Twitter and said my displeasure and whatnot. So my point is, you see something, you say something. All right? That is a form of discrimination because of the fact the president was not named by person, but it was named by sex. Because in it, it would say the AD and the AD. And they would say the president, and they would say the president and his wife. And, you know, I'm just really appalled because he's a UVA person. He's got a black female AD at UVA. So I don't know if it's really showing his true politics, you know, whatnot. And I'm not a journalist, so I don't need to have both parties, you know. That's why I'm in PR. But the point is that it didn't sit well with me, and it needs to be pointed out that, yes, we're just not happy about you talking about HBCUs. You know, we're not invisible. We have made a huge impact in HBCU world, and black women need to be acknowledged. And so the title of the blog is She Has a Name and She Has a Title. So hopefully you'll check that out. And again, I am not one to stand at the top of the line, of the marching line with banners. But when I do see something, I do say something, and that's what I'm saying to you. And sometimes I was I remember years ago I was in the midst of a little sexual harassment piece, and I did not feel comfortable that I was going to have support by reporting. But I inadvertently got my point across by using the vehicles I had. I was in charge of staff retreats, and I made that, I put that on the agenda, and I had human resource to bring it to the attention. And so I really didn't have to really complain about mine, because when I educated the group, the rest of the group were like, oh, yeah, what? When we do it, when so-and-so happens, isn't that so-and-so? Again, this was over 20 years ago. Now you have more support when you bring things to the forefront. So, again, I'm not a silent partner, but I do use my resources. And, again, one of those resources is significance in athletics and sports. Ivana Rich has a call of action out there. She really wants to dive deep into HBCU and DEI work, because it seems like, oh, it's not needed. No, it is needed. Let me tell you why. And so she's taking up, she is asking, calling for action for those who are in the HBCU DEI space to consider doing a panel at N4A in June. So reach out to Ivana Rich at Norfolk State, get the magazine, and let's do the work that is ours to do. Jolene Robinson has stepped over a little bit into, and she did not tell me exactly what she wanted me to tell about it, but she's in the juicing business. She wants to do some juicing. She said she wants to do something more personal. But, you know, I'm just so glad that we have members that support us here in the garden. And so I just ask you to support her, because she's supporting us. I'm sure that whatever her endeavor is, it is under the umbrella of Stepping to Win. And Jolene is a championship winner coach, and now she's an administrator. And if you're interested in learning about her new venture, contact her at jrobertson@steppingtowin.com. My last resource I want to share with you all is one that kind of goes down the line of our conversation today. It is Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. Now, she wrote this a couple of years ago, but as you know, our students now have some of the similar needs that a professional athlete would need before they even leave the college campus with the name, image, and likeness piece. And what she talks about is how to assist the athlete in selecting those individuals that's going to help them avoiding the curse. And things that I read that was really enlightening to me, such as real estate, you know, and when the athlete finally gets paid, doesn't get paid until the season starts. So you might get drafted like 4 or 5 months later, and then you still have to try to make the team. So maybe, yeah, you shouldn't get so excited and go and buy that piece of real estate, because it may not be a continuous, like I said, CPR, consistent revenue-producing activity for you to be able to invest in such. And so also it was something else that I learned that was really, I mean, again, I learned a lot from that book. And the book is in 3 different formats, paperback, audio, and ebook. And you can get all 3 from Amazon. So look up Surviving the Light. I know what it was. It was credit. If the agent that the young person selects makes all the purchases under the name, of the company or the agency, when the football playing time is over, the individual does not have any credit. After even all those money going back and forth, there's no credit for that person. And so I thought that was interesting. So, again, read the book and you can go, ooh, that's interesting as well. Go ahead and get the book. Again, it's on Amazon, Surviving the Life of Professional Athletes Playbook, Devoting the Curse by Tawana Smith. Now, I am excited about this guest for 2022, the new year. And I'll be quite honest with you. I looked this person up because I gave my class an assignment. The end of the class assignment was to review name, image, and likeness policies, pick a university, and be able to review it. I'm supposed to be doing it all year, but you know, the last minute they pick a different university, and tell me and evaluate their policies, and based on what we talked about during the whole semester, what is the area that they could improve their policies as it relates to name, image, and likeness. And many, I think I had three presentations that named this company that our guest today works for. So, you know me, I go on LinkedIn, I look the company up, let me see, do I know anybody that works for the company? And guess who I found? I found Danielle Tate, Senior Partnership Manager for IMFLCR. I know she's going to tell me how to pronounce that, if you even do pronounce it or do you use the words. But this is a company that universities are using to help them administer their name, image, and likeness policies. So this, when I tell you this is timely information for times such as this, I am excited. Welcome to the garden, Danielle.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So it is just influencer, but it's okay because we get a lot of different variations of the name. We've heard in Flickr. We've heard picture app from the athletes at this point. So we get that all the time, but it's just influencer.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That is deep. Well, before we start talking about the company, we're going to talk about you. So let's start off from your college career to your current position.
Yes, so I am originally from Birmingham, Alabama, and then I decided to go to undergrad at LSU, and that's pretty much where I started my athletics career. I worked for 2.5 to 3 years in the event management department while I was there. So went from just a volunteer to an intern to pretty much like a borderline GA at one point. But during that time, we were able to host a lot of different events, and I was really able to understand just the basis of working in athletics and specifically event management, because if anybody knows event management, you know that you have to work so closely with all the other different departments. And so it was a good way to see what all it takes to go into a game, into an event. And so after I graduated from LSU, I did a quick internship with another event company in Birmingham, Bruno Event Team. And then I did a year of grad school at the University of Kentucky, where I was a graduate assistant. And then after that year, I came back down to Birmingham. I had planned on just finishing up my degree at the University of Alabama, and I was just going to take a year off of working. And then, as I say, the Lord, when he's going to put you somewhere, he's going to make sure you find it. And so I was ended up given the opportunity to work with the Southwestern Athletic Conference under their championships division. And so I ended up doing that for a year and a half, working all of the championships that we host throughout the year. And then Shortly after that was when I connected with influencers. So I actually connected with the CEO on LinkedIn and sent him a quick message and just said, hey, I'm not sure if you guys are looking for any more talent, but here's my resume. Please let me know if I would be a good fit for the company, just because I knew that they were sports-based, but I also knew that they were very tech-focused, and that was something that I wasn't super comfortable with at first. But he immediately responded back, said, come in for an interview. 3 weeks later, I've been stuck with them ever since. So I've been here for almost 3 years. We started off as a startup, obviously, and if you're familiar with startups, and even if you're not familiar with startups, it's like dog years. I say I've been here for 3 years. It feels more like 10. It's always evolving, always changing. I started off in the client success department, so account management for all the accounts that we had. When I came on board, we had had 9 clients total, and then in my first 3 months, that went up to about 45. And then it kept growing and growing and growing. And so my positions changed a little bit. We were acquired by a company called Teamworks. And so with that, we kind of merged our departments together. And then in the spring to summer of 2021 was when we opened up our partnerships division. So that was kind of us getting ready with NIL and all of that support focus. And so that led me to that promotion where now I work with our partners in what we call our influencer exchange, which is pretty much our NIL department. So just helping athletes with brand building, helping them discover the opportunities for endorsements out there, helping them to understand what all they can do no matter where you play or what sport you play or how much playing time you get. And then also connecting them with what we call our influencer partners who, again, are there to help college athletes earn a little bit of money however they choose to. And so I just kind of help link those two partners together.
Girl, do you realize you are a pioneer? You hear me?
I try. That's very sweet of you. It's different. It's very different, but
yeah,
we're excited
yeah.
to just kind of be in this space. And you tell me 5 years ago that this is what I would be doing, I wouldn't even have a clue how I got here. So just very blessed to be along for this part of the ride.
Yeah, I hope you heard my first, my Johnny Carson, my monologue before I bring the guest on. But it is attached to this. We got to stay in a pioneer mindset, in a rookie mindset, and that I think is great. And you stay open and look where you are.
Yeah,
and
another thing that you had mentioned earlier was just about adaptability, and that was where I was like, okay, that hit the nail on the head for me because. Not even just with this company, but with all of the experience that I've had up to this point, all of it's been adaptability, being able to change your thought process, being able to understand that you might have the same goal, but it might be a different route that you need to take. And so that's just been super important in my career thus far, is just being able to be nimble and understanding that, you know, you've got to be adjusting to change throughout the whole process.
That is so important because you talk about startup. Now, I didn't know I was starting up anything, but 8 years ago, this podcast came about, and then I was already a consultant, but then the podcast helped me grow my business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my business was doing staff retreats, similar to what you say, you know, helping the student athletes know about the branding piece, but from a leadership standpoint, being a SID, an AD at 28, a conference staff person for 13 years, and having extensive background in PR, but professional development, growing people was the thing I did well. There's so many people that were able to get their jobs, and so I didn't know where I was going, but I've always kept stay open and keep my ground cultivated so it can be able to receive. And so I think that's another thing, be able to receive, being nimble, but you got to be aware of when the message is coming and being able to catch it.
Right.
Because if
that's
we
so
continue
true.
To stay, oh, we've always done it this way, you're going to look, that train going to leave and it ain't coming back.
You're so true. That is so right. And especially when you're just thinking about college athletics in general, and you know that's from being an SID. An SID from 10, 15 years ago is something completely different than what it is right now. And we see that a lot of times just with our client contacts and with the departments that we work with, how you still got some, I don't want to call them old school, but you still got the ones that, you know, they started their job with writing the press release and writing the game notes mm-hmm. and things like that. But, you know, even that part is different now. It's all digital and social and, mm-hmm. you know, just being able to have the balance of continuing to work on your craft and, you know, not just with SIDs, but with athletic departments in general. I mean, mm-hmm. our company wouldn't have a space 7 years ago or 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And so just being able to continuously adapt into what college athletics has become and how to, at the end of the day, we're all here to support athletes. And so in what ways can we make sure that we're supporting them the most, whether that is supporting them themselves, supporting the staff, supporting the athletic department, supporting the students that are attending those schools. I think each of us just have a place where we can continue to adapt to make it the best environment.
Well, you know, you said something that I just want to go back to, you know, honing in your craft. And so, and you said 7 years ago you would not have been a company. Just be clear, they would have been embraced because your company
right.
goes against a philosophy that many people, even though right now they don't necessarily believe it, but I'm here and say it's here to stay. So,
yeah.
you know, honing your craft is also opening your mind and being able to see it's a different day and you can't sing the same song.
You're right. You're right. And our company has always kind of taken a stance of athletes first, and the athletes are who we are devoted to making the best experience for, but that has to go through
mm-hmm.
the staff and that has to go through the schools. You know, the schools are the ones that are paying for our software. And so with that, though, we learned that by helping the staff is how we help the athletes. If we're able to take a load off of the staff that was either a pain point that they were going through or, again, just to elevate the experience of their athletes, it will always trickle down into the athletes. And I think that has been the coolest part, is to understand that athletes might be our end goal, but they've never been our starting point. It always has to be the school and those athletic directors and the communication staff, the marketing staff, because, again, everyone's goal is to, you know, make the student-athlete's experience better. And how can they do that? Our company is another way that they can do that. And so, again, by helping them and their processes and procedures and, again, making their lives a little bit easier, that will always translate into making the athlete experience better for those student-athletes.
Okay, so I have one more question concerning the company. And then we're going to take a commercial, and when we come back, I'm going to talk more about you as a person, okay?
Okay,
so my question is, you say the institution buys the software. Can you kind of give me more info? What does the software do?
Yeah, so when I started out 3 years ago, we were in content delivery. So our core function, and that is still to this day our core function, is to be able to take the photos and videos and all the content that the staff is creating at the school, so the staff photographers, the creative staff, the marketing staff, whoever that may be, all of that content that you're shooting for games, practices, travel, special events, being able to put it into our software. We use artificial intelligence with facial recognition, jersey recognition. We can also recognize foul names and metadata. You put it into our software, it automatically organizes it by athlete. And so that way, when the athlete gets onto our app, they see all of their photos and videos just specifically of them right there on their homepage. They can also see the rest of the game galleries, so they can see their teammates and stuff like that. But that was our number one core function, was just be able to streamline the process of getting the content to the athletes. And so that way they can post it on their social media. They can send it to their mom, because, you know, moms are always like, send me pictures, and they don't have any. Mm-hmm. So now it was a way for them to immediately be able to get those pictures right after the game, capitalize on that big win or that big play that they had during the game, and just to be able to elevate their social media. But with that, our CEO, Jen Cavall, always had the notion of, we knew that NIL was going to happen at some point. And so as before, we were getting them ready and building up their brand for social media and for NIL. Now, with 2021, they're able to actually capitalize on that. So in 2021, we came out with another software, Influencer Verified, which is a compliance function. So it allows for the athletes to report their transactions to their compliance staff to make sure that they aren't breaking any rules. We also have another function, which is the Influencer Exchange, which is a little bit more into my alley, where we have different partners, which are different companies, that will help them to make money however they want to. So if they're into coaching and want to coach people in their area or youth or anything like that, then they can sign up for different coaching apps. If they are into merchandise, we have a couple different avenues where they can create their own merchandise with their logo or something like that. So it's something a little bit for everybody, but again, just making sure that they know the opportunities that are out there for them. And so, again, all of those transactions report back up to the school, to their compliance officers. And so, and then we also have another function, Influencer Plus, which is kind of our white glove service. So essentially a lot of that will take the place of a staff member on campus. So if you need help with recruiting, or if you want in-depth analysis of the social media for your athletes or anything like that, they can opt into that as well.
That is so exciting. Do you are you looking at interns?
We do have a couple different programs with whether it is kind of like a one-off or like a semester base, and that will be through Teamworks, who is our parent company. So I'd love to I can share that information with you as well for our Teamworks Academy. And so we can try to get some more people in here for sure.
Yay! Okay, now you got my heart jumping up and down. That makes me happy. So we're going to take a short break right here on Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, here on a Chat in the Garden with Smith and Blooms in Athletics and Sports.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student-athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student-athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people, and I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the chat in the garden with Figure Bloom in athletics and sports. Okay, here's my question from Mackenzie Rector. She is at The Ohio State, and she is actually doing some research on black women in sports management education. So her question is, she would like to know about your sports manager education and relationship with your faculty and classmates and how it has impacted your success in the field.
Ooh, okay, good question. So I've been blessed enough to have some teachers in my corner throughout all of my education that have really helped shape and mold me. So beginning with undergrad, Dr. Kwame Ajuman, who is now on sabbatical, but it was just at Ohio State. So he was one of those mentors that he knew. He got it. He understood it as being one of the few black professors in the department. He cultivated especially his black students to make sure that they knew and understood, one, what they were getting into, but two, that it was still possible to be in. But with that also, I had quite a few women professors who also took the time out to really understand us. And again, same function of just knowing that this space is not easy. You will be going through some things that you aren't going to like too well or that you're going to have to put your foot down. But they made sure to instill the confidence in us, one, as a woman, two, as a person of color, that people want you, people need you, but that might still come with, I don't want to say a little bit of disrespect, but a little bit of chip on your shoulder. So, but what they did tell me was that stay true to who you are, stay true to what you know, because as professors, they're teaching us this curriculum, but, you know, us teaching and learning is different from when you're kind of in that environment. And so they really wanted to take the approach of the real world is going to do this, and this is what you need to be prepared for. And they just made sure to, again, instill that confidence in us to be able to know that, you know, we're safe in this space if this is what we want to do.
You know, that's interesting. It makes me feel pretty good because I teach collegiate athletic administration. And I really had a hard time teaching this semester because I talk a lot about NCAA violations. And I used a book called The System, which talks a little bit about all the corruption in college football. And I say, find the incident and then find the bylaw. And, you know, and the next thing was to say what you wouldn't do on your watch. Well, most of the things that were cited, because there's different colleges that the author brings about, weren't a violation anymore. And I was like, so I decided that I would just spend the whole semester talking about name, image, and likeness, because I said, by the time the semester ends, you know, there'll be some more concrete how to approach it. And I had them to do each state and tell them how each state was dealing with and whatnot. I said, because I want you not only to pass the class and get a grade, I want you to be employable when you come out. That's the question about internships. That anyone in my class could intern for your company because they have studied at least 10 institutions of what they've done. You know what I'm saying? That's really important for me to stay up with current issues and use a textbook. And then you memorize definitions. So you just made me feel like I'm on the right track.
You are 100%. And so I know obviously your students are lucky to have you, but for the rest of the people on this call, if you know, whether you're mentoring someone or, you know, you're in school yourself and don't feel like you have that support, look to the industry too, because whereas you might not have a professor that can teach you those things, there's plenty of us also out there that, again, have been through it and can kind of understand and just get you on the right track of knowing that you're still included in this space, even though a lot of times it might not feel like we are.
Absolutely. That's key. That's why the Chat in the Garden was begun, because I wanted people to know that you can grow by looking at other people grow. You know, it's synergy in that, for real.
There's
really no doubt. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go a little bit back, a little bit more about mindset of yours to stay in a structure that was uncertain versus staying with a university or a conference office. You got some great experiences. And I guess how did your family, or you had entrepreneurs in your family, or how did you stay on track when it's such a new thing?
Yeah, so I actually do have entrepreneurs in my family. Both my mom and my dad were entrepreneurs. My mom still, you know, is growing her business to this day. Although she couldn't help me out a ton just because she was blessed enough in the fact that when she stepped out on her own, she had already had that book with her. And so we maybe had to struggle for a little bit, but overall, she's never had to market herself. So it's funny because I love that about her, and I love that drive and that push, but at the same time, it's like that is not everybody's story. And so I can't sing to that song all the time, but – for me, to start off, it was a personal decision just because, again, if you know event management, it is a grind. And you're the first one in, the last one out. You're meant to be there at every event that you're assigned to. And so I knew for me personally that if I wanted to start a family on the long run, that was not going to be a sustainable option for me. And that was just not what I wanted for myself. But with that also, when this opportunity at Influencer came along, it was very scary because, like I mentioned, I didn't have any tech background. And I was honest with that in the interview process that I didn't. But they wanted me because of my sports background and because of my campus background. And that helped tremendously. And it still helps today in this role because I'm the one that they look to when they are wanting to learn more about communication with our client contacts, or, hey, let's not schedule this game when they're playing in, you know, the semifinal today. Things like that where is for some people it's not in their mind, but for someone like me who has worked on campus, I know and understand the deal. So it took a lot out of me just to make that leap, but I knew that this was a fresh start and something that could potentially grow into something else. And I didn't at the time have a true goal for me. I had always said that I wanted to be a senior administrator on a college campus, but then the one thing that I learned about being in this external space is that I get to be a fan of everyone. You know, I get to share everyone's moments and celebrations and cheer with them whenever they're doing something well. And I love that part. It is a grind, again. Like I said, it changes so often. And that's really challenged me, too. But I think the one thing overall that allowed me to pivot in this space and to be successful is the leadership. We have a tremendous CEO who, again, at the time when I first started, it wasn't that many of us. So we were able to be extremely close, a close-knit group. So everyone kind of knew each other. And the leadership that, not just among him, but the other people that were in the company that were also standing alongside of me made this company what it was and made me specifically who I am. Because I've gone through not so great leadership and I've gone through okay leadership. And so to see just the different types of leaders in different environments was the, I think, the true factor in me of knowing that this is okay, this is a safe space, and this is where I think I was meant to be right now.
Well, I am so glad that you were already a part of the garden. I didn't have to convince you to please come on, and it all worked out. I had an opening. I was like, can you come on now? I think this was a fantastic way to begin 2022, and I thank you from the bottom of your heart. And please, after we finish, email me that information. That I forgot what it was, but it's because I do follow-ups to the group, so I'm going to do the follow-up, whatever it is you said you were going to share.
Yes, absolutely. I will share that information with you. If anybody else has any other questions or want to talk more about anything, my email is just danielle@influencer.com, so you can reach me there. But thank you so much for having me this week. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. And as always, I want to thank our engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions, for being my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates on show guests and podcasts, follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.